Well, if you were following along in the hymnal tonight, you'll notice I took the short version. Not that it's that much shorter, but I decided since I was going to talk for 45 minutes, I should try to save some time. So. This first reading we had from Isaiah, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Isaiah talks about the day when God will invite us all to this banquet and feed us with rich, juicy foods and choice wines. Now, the kids are probably saying, I'm not so sure about that choice wine stuff, but maybe the rich, juicy foods sound great. Isaiah wrote several hundred years before Jesus came along. And then with the first reading today, we have matched this parable that Jesus tells about this king that has this wedding banquet prepared, and it's all ready to go, and those who were invited refuse to come. And not only do they refuse to come, they end up killing the king's servants when they come to invite them. This parable was intended for, as we heard Jesus at the beginning, it was intended for the chief priests and the elders, because they had been invited to the feast, and yet they didn't recognize Jesus as being the Savior. And so they're the ones that are not going to make it to the feast. And so the king in the parable says, you know, invite others in, everyone, anyone who you can find. And so we all are invited to this great feast that God is preparing for us. And I can't help but hope that Ed Sparr right now is enjoying that feast. We buried him on Thursday. This parable that Jesus tells, though, goes deeper than just being a parable. It reminds us that we are each called to both the heavenly feast, but more importantly, we're called to the feast here at the table of the Eucharist every week. And if you've followed some of these different surveys that are being done, we know that 70 to 75% of Catholics do not come to Mass every week. Only about 25% of us come to Mass on a weekly basis. And so we are not partaking in the feast that God has prepared for us, that strengthens us in this life and leads us to life everlasting. So this past week, there's been a lot that have pointed me to the fact that we need to keep holy the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the new Sabbath that Jesus instituted by his rising from the dead, the new life that he has given us. And so that's the third commandment. And if you've been following along with Father Mike Smith's and the catechism in the year, we just got through the third commandment, keep holy the Lord's Day. And so it's important for us to do that. And how do we do that? One, by coming to Mass every Sunday or Saturday evening and partaking of this feast that's been prepared. That's one way. But we also, God intended this to be a day of rest. Sunday is a day of rest. And how much resting do we all do? And I'm speaking to myself, too. This has been something that's been very challenging. Of course, Monsignor and I automatically work on Sundays. But what else do we do? Do we put this day aside? It's supposed to be for worshiping God and praising and glorifying him. It's supposed to be time spent with family and friends, social activities, gathering with other families in the church community and doing things together. And how many of us do that? I would say a lot of us use Sunday as a day to get things done around the house, cut the grass, go grocery shopping or whatever. And that's not what the Lord intended for us to do. He intended for us to rest and relax. So I would challenge all of us, myself included, to do what we can to keep holy the Lord's Day, not only by coming to Mass every week, but also doing as little work as possible, servile work, the Catechism says. Now, if you enjoy gardening, I'm not going to take that away from you. But the Catechism also makes the point that we should not be the cause of other people not being able to keep the Sabbath. So are there things we do? Do we go out to eat? Do we go to the grocery store? Yes, some people are always going to have to work. Nurses, doctors. We can't just shut down the hospitals and say, come back on Monday. But if there are things that we do, and I've heard this excuse, and I've probably made it in my mind before. Well, the restaurant is already open, so my going out to eat isn't going to make, well, yeah, but if we all think that, then yes, we are contributing to that. Every once in a while, I like a good Chick-fil-A, and anyone have an idea about what day I most want Chick-fil-A? Sunday. I'm like, you know, Chick-fil-A, oh, it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A does it right, okay? They do it right. They take Sunday off. Hobby Lobby does it right. You know, they studied Chick-fil-A, and, you know, the marketing folks would tell Chick-fil-A, you're losing a lot of business because you're not open on Sunday. But they found that it causes scarcity, so that people will go on another day just because they know that Chick-fil-A is going to be closed on Sunday. You know, think about if we had to ration gasoline, and the government said, okay, you only can get gas on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Well, I'm betting that if you were anywhere near half a tank on Friday, you would get gas on Friday because you knew that on Saturday and Sunday you weren't going to get gas. So, can we change our habits? So instead of waiting until Sunday to gas up, can we gas up on Saturday? Or wait till Monday? When I was growing up, this tells you how old I am, gas stations were not open. Supermarkets were not open. Most places were not open. Restaurants were not open. We went for a Sunday drive on Sunday. That was the extent of what we did, pretty much. Yeah, there are sporting events and things like that, but I think sports have overtaken us. I was in a parish once, and the secretary came to me and said, you probably won't be seeing much of us on Sunday anymore. My son's in a traveling soccer team, and so we're going to be gone every weekend. And I didn't get the impression that they were going to really seek out churches wherever they went. When I was over in Edinburgh, they had a ball complex, a softball complex. I don't know, maybe six different diamonds. That place was crowded. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd see the lights come on. I could see the lights from the church. And they would go all day Sunday. Now, I doubt many of those kids are going to grow up to be professional ball players. So, you know, do we really need that on Sunday? Each of us has to decide for ourselves how we're going to keep the Lord's Day holy. And it might mean that we need to give something up. One thing I try to do, not 100% successful yet, but I try to keep off the computer, try not to look at emails. And as I said, I've sometimes I don't do the best on that. It's a challenge for us, though, to change the ways that we are to live. You know, Jesus came and said, you know, that we need to live differently than the general population. We have a deacon retreat every year, and we have different people that give those retreats. And so one year, our retreat director said, you know, you really should spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if at all possible. Make a holy hour every day. And I'm like, that's nice. I can't do that. I don't have an hour. And the second time I heard that, I thought, yeah, that would be great if I had an hour. Well, the third time I heard that, third year, I'm like, okay, God, the only way I can do this is if I get up an hour earlier and do it first thing, because if I put it off till the afternoon, it's not going to happen. And so I started doing it. It was a challenge for me, and it means I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, which means I have to get to bed at a reasonable hour, which doesn't always happen. But what I'm trying to express is that we all have to do something. We have to change. And we can't just say, well, that's nice, but I can't really do that. I can't give my whole Sunday to God. I got things I gotta do. But God intended that day to be a day of rest for us. Yes, a day to come and praise our God and to partake in this great banquet here on earth that is a sign of the banquet to come in God's heavenly kingdom. So I would challenge each of us. Start with one thing. Say, I'm not going to do this on Sunday anymore, or I'm not going to do that. Start with that. If you get that under control, do something else. But truly, make an effort to make the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day. I guarantee you, if you can do that, God will reward you in ways that you can't even imagine. Coming here to this table of the Eucharist will become more important to you. You'll see. And it's vital that we come together and celebrate God and worship Him together. It's not just me and God. It's the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. That's why we come together. So I challenge you all, I challenge myself. Let's look and see if there are ways that we can do a little bit more to rest and relax and to enjoy our families and friends on the Lord's Day and do less servile labor. Now, I understand some people have to work. They have no choice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that we can give up so that we spend more time in prayer and with God. We all want to end up at that banquet in God's kingdom when we leave this earth, that one with the rich, juicy foods and the choice wines. This is a start. This is wonderful. This is Jesus giving us His very body, blood, soul, and divinity to strengthen us in this life and to lead us to that heavenly kingdom, where we will experience that great banquet.